From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Going to a concert of the band Book on Tapeworm must be a little like going to a play. The stage can be like a set, the songs situated in four different acts. There's even brief interludes that seem like overtures. And the music, of course, is the story. Well, more than one story. The songs have different characters with different plots and predicaments. Band member Sierra Black has said these songs aren't just empty words, they're narratives. Narratives created by songwriter Scott Shepherd, who says he's trying to find a frame for real emotions. Today in the program, we're offering another installment in our programs featuring local bands. Book on Tapeworm is joining us today in studio, talking about these stories and, of course, playing them. So join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. So this is not always true, but some of the time you can tell a lot about a band from their album covers. The art lets you know about their sensibilities, if not their music anyway. For the Provo-based band group, Book on Tapeworm, their first album, which they just released this past fall, is a beautiful piece of art. It's a pop-up book, which gives you certain clues about their music and the way they go about it. You can find in the songs references to books, of course, and to stories, and there's also a kind of theatricality to the music and the way they present it to the world. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music with Book on Tapeworm. They're with us here in the studio, along with their instruments, which include a concert drum, a cello, and a glockenspiel. They'll be joining us here in a moment. But first, we want to offer some final thoughts on the local music scene in 2012. So joining us here to help sort it out is Austin Diamond, the music editor for the City Weekly here in Salt Lake. Austin, welcome back.
Thanks, Doug. Being with us. Good to be back.
Kenesha Johnson is joining us by phone with Velour Live Music Gallery in Provo. And Kenesha, welcome to you.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, so let me just start really broadly. Was it, Austin, you first, a good year for music locally?
I think it was an excellent year. I was really pleased with well over 10. I think 10 is like the number that most critics use to, you know, give a rundown of the best ofs. And I was double that. It was an excellent year.
Yeah. Kenesha, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm on board with that too. Actually, I think in addition to it just being a great year with some really established bands, it's been a really strong developing year for some bands that we're expecting to see some big things from in 2013. So
yeah.
It's always a great time.
Okay, so Austin, you've written that you didn't notice the local music scene pushing new forms necessarily, but you did see this theme. This is how you've written about it. This idea of a thematic approach. You see thematic albums, thematic approaches. What do you mean? Talk about that.
Yeah, so last year I think that we saw like a lot of new sounds and genres being elaborated upon and bands coming together to form this. And I think this year was less non-narrative musical approaches and more of bands and artists creating thematic albums, like albums that are, I don't know, sort of like a book. I really like albums and I like listening to them from start to finish. And I think a lot of the ones that we'll be listening to and talking about have that aesthetic.
Book on Tapeworm is absolutely in there, and we'll get to that as we go, of course. Hear a lot of that. But Joshua James was one of these for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Joshua James, his music in general. This is From the Top of Willamette Mountain is his third album, and he deals in the currency of mysticism, and it really digs into a personalized search for meaning. And he like puts himself out there, but with semi-fictional characters digging into what it means to search for God or for meaning in life and what it means to walk away from what you had known that to be.
These are kind of recurring themes for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all about – I guess he's Mormon. He's sort of – I don't know if he feels guilty about being a Mormon, but he has this kind of weird sense of the relationship of being and part of an organized religion. That's the sense I get of his
Sure.
Music.
Well, yeah, he's gone on record with me. So he has left the church.
Oh, hasn't
and
he?
This album, I think, especially digs into what it means to leave an organized religion and find oneself and to want a life of searching.
Yeah. Let's play a clip, something that you've picked out. Which is this piece?
Sure. This is a tune called Queen of the City. This is the second song on the album. And I think it embodies this duality of good versus evil, faith versus, you know, finding something else.
Well, if I wrote it in your letter, then it don't mean I am a liar, a dirty wire. You could mean my body, but it'll make you sick. You have a savior, it's your heart of anger, but my dog ain't nothing, he ain't nothing like my lover.
Joshua James, it's Top of Willamette Mountain is the name of that album. That the piece is Queen of the City,
right?
Yeah. Kanisha, let me ask you, are you seeing any themes in the music you've been picking out as your favorites this year, last year?
That brings up something I really wanted to mention, which is that local music is going to follow trends that are happening in national music as much as anything. But I really want to mention that Nate Pfeiffer, who is producing a lot of the major albums coming out of Utah right now, he actually started out by producing the Moth and the Flames album and has now since become a full-time member of that as well. And his impact on all these albums is consistent. He really deals a great deal with using strong samples and electronic influences in music. And so a couple of bands that we're going to talk about a little later, Polytype and Mid-Obe, are actually both two bands he's produced. And he's got a lot of other ones on the market as well. And I think he's kind of leaving a thumbprint all over local music right now. So,
well, let's talk about Polytype, because this is one of your favorites. It used to be called Soft Science. Is it kind of an electronic band? Is that how you explain it?
Yeah, it's very electronic, synth-based, still good guitars. The songwriter Mason Porter the whole band has been in several bands over the years, and I think it's kind of finally solidified into this, everything from folk to more rock, and it's evolved into Polytype, which is, in my opinion, kind of has like a strong R&B influence and rejuvenates some really fresh beats that I think are something I'm looking for in current music right now, not finding a ton of. And so when I heard their new stuff, I was just so, you know, exhilarated about it. I'm like, this is the face of new music in America. And they're actually already getting, they've only released a single so far. They haven't even released their full album. They're already having a lot of blog features, you know, since that release in the last month and a half or so.
Yeah.
It's taking off really well.
Let's play some of that that particular single. This is Refract, I guess. Is this the one?
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
What do you want to say about it?
I want to just reiterate how fresh it is. Really, I think it's really the future of music in general, and I'm really glad it's representing local music, because this is the kind of quality stuff we're seeing come out.
Polytype is the name of the band, formerly Soft Science. Refract is the name of that single. Okay, Austin, back to you. Switching gears entirely, say something about Eagle Twin.
Sure. It's sludge metal for moms. No, I'm just kidding. This isn't exactly like my cup of tea all the time, but I think what Kanisha is talking about, I think 2013 setting up to be an excellent year of songwriting and nuance and sound, whereas for me, 2012 was about thematic songwriting and lyrics. And so what Eagle Twin is, it's a local two-piece sludge metal band that released this album, The Feather Tip, The Serpent's Tail. And it's a follow-up to...
That's a great name.
I know, it is a great name. And it follows up on an album that was released a couple years ago called The Unkindness of Crows, where these crows engage the sun, got burned, and were sent back to Earth as blackened serpents.
So they're about mythology.
They're about mythology. Yeah. And so this is a really tightly written lyrically album. And so Gentry, who's the songwriter, you know, alluded to poet Ted Hughes and Federico Garcia Lorca and even the Bible to have this album about suffering and punishment and then ultimately redemption.
Wow. Which is an amazing contrast to this music that we're going to hear.
Right, yeah. Right. So you really have to, like, clue in on it. And I think it's surprising to a lot of people who don't listen to this sort of music, how poetic and deep it is.
Yeah, let's listen to a piece. Okay, Kanisha, we'll shift gears back to Mido now. Is it Mido? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, so, and this was, it's a new duo. Tell us a little bit about Spencer Harrison. He used to be with Fictionist. Started.
Yes, that's correct. He left Fictionist, I think maybe 2 years ago now, to kind of work on pursuing his own solo projects, and I think had transitioned across the country for a bit. I think in the last little bit, he's set up shop with Libby Linton, which is her name's really familiar in the songwriter, local songwriter category around here. She has one of the most iconic voices I've ever heard. And in fact, I think she herself has topped my list of favorite female local songwriters right now. But yeah, their duo together, it's really filled with unlikely harmonies and really something similar to, if you enjoy Bon Iver, you might enjoy a similar haunting, like, appeal that Mido has. So, but they're a brand new duo, really. I mean, they just played their first show in December, but they just hit a $10,000 Kickstarter mark yesterday, and they'll be playing with Book on Tapeworm this weekend. Yeah. So we're excited to kind of help them launch because we think they've got a big potential, so.
Great. Well, let's hear just a moment. What's the name of this piece we're going to play, or a moment of it anyway?
I'm not sure which one it is you're playing. I think I sent two tracks over.
This is Two Hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm being told. Okay, here it is. Mido.
Okay.
God in heaven, God on high, we found the furthest way along, tied together, two hands hold. One could make it right if one could let go. The way we behave is criminal, it's criminal.
It's that new band, Mido, is the name, and the name of that piece is Two Hands. Okay, Kanisha said something, Austin, finally, as we wrap this up, Kickstarter being involved, and that seems to be a theme, where you have the band's or the group's fans helping get them going.
Yeah, like fans, for those who don't know what this is, like fans will pledge $5 to $1,000, and they're saying, we back you and we want this album to come out. And so in return, they can get the album, or for one odd example, there is a collaboration, a gospel album collaboration, Open Orchard Revival, mm-hmm. and one of the things that a pledger could get for $1,000 was I think that Dan cut his beard or something like that. Yeah. You know, so just like odd things to get fans involved. And I think that things like Kickstarter are changing the face of music, where bands can skip out on record labels and go straight to their fans. Yeah. I think more and more we're going to see artist-fan interaction becoming the way music industry is done.
Right. Kanisha, let me ask you finally, do you have a sense of the direction then for local music? Austin talked a little bit about that, but looking back on the last year, can you tell where we're headed?
You know, I'm always hopeful, and I'm always the hype girl about local music, but I'm highly confident we're going to have at least two major label signings this year, and I expect there'll be some good traffic for at least four other bands. That's really representational of the quality music that we're developing locally, and I think that the success of other local bands previously is really impacting that and creating a really heavy turning point for us. So it's a shared success for all of us, and we're kind of all just standing by and putting the work in to help make it happen. So genre-wise, we're representing just about every genre, which I'm really proud of. So, bands like Book on Tapeworm, who are developing their own genres, that's always really exciting. And I think we're seeing more innovation like that locally, too.
That's Kenesha Johnson with Velour in Provo. Her Twitter handle is at Scene Sister. Kenesha, thanks.
Thank you.
Austin Diamond, music editor for City Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter at Austin. That's Austin with an E, Diamond. Austin, thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Doug.
Book on Tapeworm when we get back from a break. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, another installment in our series of programs on local music. There's a lot of really great music coming out of Provo, as we've heard. Today we've got another Provo-based band on the show. It's called Book on Tapeworm. They've just released their first album. It's getting a lot of critical attention, and they're joining us today to talk about it. Scott Shepherd is with us on guitar and lead vocals. He's the songwriter for the band. Scott, welcome. Thanks
Hello,
for being with
you
us.
Doing?
Good. Sierra Black is with us on cello. Sierra, welcome.
Hello, thanks.
Julianne Brough is on vocals and piano. Welcome to you.
Thanks.
And Gavin Ryan on vibraphone, glockenspiel, concert bass drum, and all the percussion that you're going to be hearing today. Gavin, welcome to you.
Hey, thanks.
We should mention the debut LP, All the World's a Stage, was released in October. They're going to be playing two shows this weekend. We'll give you the details about that as we go along. So I kind of was stumbling around a little bit early on, thinking of what to call you. So, Scott, like, what are you guys? I was going to say band, but then Austin, he had written something, he described you as a chamber orchestra. So I'm like, what are you guys? Or does that matter? You're a band, right? What do you call yourselves?
Yeah, I think of us as humans and just a band, I guess. That's how I've classified it. I've never really given much thought to giving it another title, but
I guess the chamber orchestra
sounds cool.
That does sound cool. But I guess because there's a kind of dreamlike sensibility, at least in this album and in the music that you play, that there's this sense that, you know, like you don't want to be seen as sleepy or new agey, right? And, I mean, you've got to be worried about that. But then you're not just a pumping rock band, or are you? Do you know what I mean? I mean, do you get worried about that sort of dreamlike description, like people are thinking that you're going to come and fall asleep somehow at the concert?
Yeah, it's interesting because we have got a lot of, I mean, sort of slumber pop, I think is what
slumber pop, that was the word,
what Austin
right?
referred it to right. us as.
Does that bug you, by the way?
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's one of the worst and the hardest things for an artist to do is to be, you know, very specific and concise about what genre they are.
Yeah.
Unless their music is very specific to a genre. So for us, I wish there was a way that we could convey our love of being sort of a soundtrack for life, something similar to that. But I just can't think of a snappy title yet.
What's the deal with the slumber parties? Do you want to explain what that is? We should say that you have concerts that sort of transform themselves into slumber parties?
Well, slumber party is a loose term. We don't sleep there.
Right, no.
That would create some awkward situations. Yeah. Originally, I think it came out of my personal love of blanket forts, and we kind of were just throwing around this this idea of turning this our favorite and hometown venue, Velour, into a blanket fort where we bring people in for a night and we'd play it to them, and it's very intimate and fun and close, and so we did that.
Yeah,
and we turned the stage into a bed, and then the next year, maybe the second year, we turned the stage into a bed, and then the next year after that, it looked like a Méliès set, and
wow.
Then this year, I'm told it's going to be snowing in there. So,
what's the theatricality? Who is that? Is that you?
It's, you know what, a big part of it is our good friend Corey Fox, the owner of Velour. He encourages you know, taking shows to a different level.
Yeah.
And I think that has always been a component of our music, is wanting it to be an experience and something that it isn't just a concert you go to, you pay your money and you listen to a couple songs and then leave. We want you to be part of it with us and you know, have a really nice experience.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the album, All the World's a Stage. I described this in the introduction, this All the World's a Stage, that first song, because it's there are four of them, mm-hmm. four of these particular ones. I described it kind of like an overture.
Definitely.
Is that what it is? Because there are four of these, as I said, and you say in this first one, the audience, all to your seats, dim the house lights, and I'll tell you stories about your lives. Raise the curtain now. And it's like 39, 40 seconds, something like that.
That's
pretty
sure,
first song.
Yeah.
Is that it's an overture?
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of just the cohesion of the record. And it's not one linear story throughout the record, right. But it's definitely, you know, the glue that holds the album together. It's an overture.
When did that occur to you? Because it's not just the All the Worlds. There are a couple of more, or one more anyway, these kind of introductions, these short sort of instrumental, or they have some words in them, but they're just like transition pieces, or how do you see them? They're just short, small pieces.
Yeah, it's... Well, I have a deep and nerdy love for concept albums.
Yeah.
And... And I, as I played these songs, I realized that they're all very similar, just in my own mind. They don't sound the same necessarily, but they have a feeling, and I wanted them all to be presented as the stories of people's lives, and with the overture sort of idea of it. Have you ever read a book where you got to the end of the story? And that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You thought, what happens next? Like,
yeah.
They don't die. They don't, you know, I just finished a book called Black Swan Green, and this kid's parents got divorced and they moved away and that was it. And I want to know what happened to him after that. And that's sort of, I think.
Your way of continuing the story.
Yeah. And life is like that too. I mean, it doesn't just end suddenly in the way that I think of it, I guess.
Yeah. There's a song I want to have you play, To Mock a Killing Bird. And I want to ask you about this because you've talked about the fact that for you, a lot of times, the thing that gets you started is, and I take it you have a journal or a notebook or any way that you carry around with you?
I have various, yeah.
A lot,
yeah.
Right? And it's so sometimes it's a line or sometimes it's an image that gets you started. Is that the way it is?
Yeah, I definitely, I carry sort of images that affect me, and I try to use those as sort of a catalyst to write something, because I usually chase a feeling when I write a song.
Yeah.
And if it makes me feel a certain way, then I feel like it will be more easily conveyed to listeners.
Yeah. Did I get a sense in did this come in some way from the fact that your mom used to read stories to you when you were a kid?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the saddest part of this, of To Mock a Killing Bird, is that you grow up and you read these fantastic stories, these yeah. tales, and you think, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to have these fantastic adventures and I'm going to be special and I'm going to be, you know, a story.
Yeah.
And oftentimes your story ends up being mundane and you work a job that's nothing like, you know, what your life is like. And
yeah.
So there's a pretty heavy dose of irony and sadness in the story, and the narrator ends up becoming what he wanted to be, but in a different way.
In a different way. Let me point out a lyric. It's so great. I used to be as crisp as the shh in Madeline L'Engle's lisp. And for those who don't know, she wrote A Wrinkle in Time, that's terrific. But then you say, I used to be crisp, but now I'm soggy.
Soggy.
And there's this kind of longing here in the lyrics, how now he's a kind of a schlub working at an office job, right?
Yeah.
And he's watching the world as it goes rolling by.
Yeah, and to give a little background on the lisp thing, I love Madeline L'Engle. And so the name Book on Tapeworm came from my love of audiobooks,
yeah.
of books on tape.
Yeah.
And I was listening to all of her works, and she has this great lisp, and she narrated all of them, and so she'd had this thing that she did, and I loved it. It was so charming to listen to, just to know that it was like she was telling me the story. And so it's not a slight to her at all. It's
no.
definitely a
I didn't take it that way anyway.
Good, I'm glad.
Good, here it is. the band, of course, with this book on tapeworm, to mock a killing bird.
The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Sir Isaac, your law has worked on me. I tried to catch a ride on James's peak. He threw me off the side, said there wasn't enough room for me. So where do I fit in the stories you read to me? I need some dreams to fill up my sleep. And where do I fit in the stories you read to me? I need some dreams to fill up my sleep. 'Cause I used to be as crisp as the in Madeline Langle's list, but now I'm soggy, oh, oh, I'm soggy. Safely from my desk as the world goes rolling by. There's not a wind in my door nor a wrinkle in my time. How can that world be so much different from mine? And where do I fit in the stories you read to me? Dreams to fill up my sleep. And where do I fit in the stories you read to me? I need some dreams to fill up my sleep. 'Cause now I feel the same as being in Ender's Game. In the shadows said I'd never heard sleep. What is the word you said I'd never heard? What is the word you said I'd never heard? What is the word you said I'd never heard sleep? What is the word you said I'd never heard? What is the word you said? This ink as I run these pages, cross my wrists over the sink. And fictitious characters don't bleed like this, and I don't know why my blood's spilling out like so much prose as the blank white page of my tile grows more red than the books of my childhood. So I run my fingers over this ink, is run these pages, cross my wrists over the sink. And fictitious characters don't bleed like this, and I don't know why my blood's spilling out. So much prose as the blank white page, my tile grows more red than the books of my childhood. In the stories you write. to me. I need some sleep so that I can dream. And where do I fit in the stories you write to me? I need some sleep so that I can dream. 'Cause I never thought I'd be an obituary, but a paragraph, that's me. I'm sorry.
Book on Tapeworm. It's the song To Mock a Killing Bird. It's from their debut album, All the World's a Stage. Scott Shepherd, Sierra Black, Julianne Brough, and Gavin Ryan. Sierra, I wanted to ask you, you said something I read in a review of the album where you talk about the fact that these aren't just empty words, they're narratives. And the thing I was wondering about is I see how in some way they could be personal to Scott, who creates them.
Definitely.
But then how do you become part of that? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
the rest of you.
Yeah, I think we connect with them because they are so real and so human.
Yeah.
You know, Scott has said multiple times he wants to write songs about real emotions. And we can connect them because they are so genuine. There's a sincerity there. And I was drawn to Book on Tapeworm when I first joined the band because of that sincerity. It's earnest, but not overly so. And, you know, also there's a really rich literary element to these songs that are just really attractive to me.
Yeah. What about the rest of you? What about Julianne? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Sierra. It's just, I think a lot of people feel a lot from these songs. Like some people, we almost take it as a compliment, but some people say they start crying at the shows.
I've heard that, by the way. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's just, you know, these things are just relatable. And so, you know, even though he may take them from things from his life or different people's lives or, I don't know, stories or whatever, I think they're relatable. And so we all kind of feel something from it.
Yeah. Gavin, you feel that way?
Yeah, I feel that way. When I first joined, they especially felt really relatable to me just because of circumstances at the time. So that's how I felt and still do.
Yeah. Scott, I wondered about this. Are these, so if I were to listen to the record, would I get a sense of you, or is this just you writing fiction?
That's an interesting question. You get a sense of me.
Sure.
And I think as much as they are narrative, my songwriting tends to take an amalgamation of personal experience and friends' experience and family experience and just kind of putting them all together into one nicely wrapped package of all the different things that you kind of can experience yourself and through knowing people.
Right. I want to talk about DEFCON 5.
Yeah.
Have you play this? Because there's some great tumult going on outside. I guess it's the end of the world, right? The apocalypse. I mean, you say that.
It could be.
And so there are just these two people hunkered down. And in the quiet, it seems great at first, but then over time, there's this question as to, here's the lyric you said, of all the people to watch the apocalypse with, you're wondering if it's not me that you'd prefer.
Yeah. I think this song kind of came of that desert island kind of thought of, you know, if I could be on a desert island with one person that I love, you know, it'd be awesome, you think. And then what if it wasn't? And
yeah, what if 3 months later?
What if you learned the worst about each other?
Right.
No, an interesting thing that kind of came out of this was when I wrote it, it was, you know, I kind of thought of it as, you know, significant other.
Yeah.
But it hit me one day when I was listening to the mixes, when we were getting them all back, that I never actually say that it is about, I mean, it's not doesn't have to be a quote unquote lover.
Yeah.
It could be a child. You could be singing to a child or a family member. And that kind of, that sort of hit me in a weird way, because I didn't mean to write it that way, that it could be relatable in that way. But yeah. One of my friends actually brought that up. He just had a child and mentioned that he was listening to it and thought of it in that context, and it broke his heart. And I think that's, I didn't want to break his heart, but I think that
yeah, you did.
That's kind of
yeah, you did.
Kind of the goal. I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a book on tapeworm. This is DEFCON 5.
DEFCON 5, code red, bombs are blowing up outside, so let's stay in bed tonight. DEFCON 5, code red, bombs are blowing up outside, so let's stay in bed tonight. It's been 3 weeks since we heard from your mother. I swear she'll be calling soon. I know how you get claustrophobic, being locked up in this room, but the chemicals outside, dear, would wreck your precious skin. So I regrettably have the task of keeping you in. DEFCON 5, code red, bombs are blowing up outside, so let's stay in bed tonight. The news is saying we should be on our knees. DEFCON 5, code red, bombs are blowing up outside, so let's stay in bed tonight. It's been 3 months now, the TV is snowing,
Tapeworm. Their debut album, All the World's a Stage, was released in October. They're playing two shows this weekend at Velour Live Music Gallery in Provo, You can get the details on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. Scott Shepard, Sierra Black, Julianne Brough, Gavin Ray, they'll be back when we get back from a break. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are continuing our series with on local music. We have with us Book on Tapeworm. It's a Provo-based band. They just released their debut album in All the World's a Stage. They just released it in October. They're playing a couple of shows this weekend, by the way, and we'll give you the details about that as we go along. It's Scott Shepard, Sierra Black, Julianne Brough, and Gavin Ryan. Okay, so I promise I won't pick apart your lyrics too much. That's got to be kind of annoying. But, you know, there is this theme of death. in this record, it seems like, and also these kind of really big existential questions. So I wanted to ask you about architects, where you say the architects were wrong, the blueprints were bare, the authors were wrong, their pages were burned, and they left us here to guess, which is seems really existential. Am I on track with that?
Yeah. It's kind of it's a song about learning your foundation was kind of not what you thought it was,
yeah,
and maybe having it fall out from under you even, and then you know, realizing that again, sort of that you're not as precious as you thought you were,
yeah,
you're stronger than you thought you were, and then you rebuild.
What was the thing that? What was the line? What was the image that started you? That got you started with this one? Do you remember?
The architects were wrong.
Yeah.
Was definitely the beginning of it, and yeah, it just kind of it went from there, and this song was actually I had it for a while and could never finish it. I didn't know what to do with it, and I played it at an open mic night at Valor, and it just people went crazy about it and kept asking me to play it, but it wasn't finished. And so I just sort of finished it, which is why it does the same thing twice. I wanted to add all these, you know, fancy bridges and stuff like that, but I never did. And I'm happy with the way it turned out, especially with the instrumentation.
Good. Here it is. It's called Architects, the band, Book on Tapeworm.
The architects were wrong, their blueprints were bare. They left us here to guess, we threw our hands in the air. And oh, what a mistake we've made, we've learned. Until they show their face. When I go, it won't be pretty or unique. It'll be in a car, in a home, in my sleep. And I had the world in my hands, but the world didn't want me. And I had the world in my hands, but the world didn't want me at all. The authors all pages we burn. They read all of their words, and still we never learned.
I go, it won't be pretty or unique. It'll be too cold, a cancer I can't be. And I had the world in my hands, but the world didn't want me. And I had the world in my hands, but the world didn't want me. So I'll turn my back on a world that will leave us here for dead. And I'll build a new world where I am the architect. And I'll build a new world of more than plans and promises.
Book on Tapeworm. The song Architects, and people wouldn't have noticed that last 49 seconds there was track 9 of the record of Plans and Promises. You said, Scott, that you kind of wrote that as a response to Architects.
Yeah. So as depressing as these songs can be, I always feel like there's a silver lining, or maybe the darkness is sort of illuminating the light in the distance. Yeah. And I feel like this song especially is so dark that I wanted to sort of finish it up and not just.
But it's interesting you wrote a whole new song. You didn't just clean up the other one, that you left it be, and then you.
Well, I stand by what I say.
Sure. Yeah.
In Architects, and so I, you know, you can listen to it without of Plans and Promises, and it will be very sad. And if that's what you want, it's totally fine.
That's great.
But I gave you the P.S. at the end.
We're rushing toward the end here, and I want to be able to get to Shadow Puppets, which is a terrific song. But let me ask you this. Let me ask the rest of you guys, Gavin and Sierra and Julianne, how do you want people to experience this record? We're talking in pieces, or should they sort of let it progress, take its time? Gavin, you start.
I definitely think it's something as a whole. I mean, with the acts and everything else, but thematically, I think it makes sense to listen to it as a record as opposed to just tunes that are pieced together.
Yeah. What about Julianne? What about you?
Yeah, I think listening to the whole album is like a cool experience, and it obviously is like an experience with the whole thing, but I think that each song stands alone and you can get something out of each song just in its own. So I'd say either way, I don't know.
Yeah,
when I listen to the record, you know, I need to set aside 40 to 50 minutes to listen to it, because I do prefer to listen to it all the way through. But like Julianne said, you can get something from each of them. You know, they can stand on their own as well.
Well, Book on Tapeworm is Scott Shepherd, Sierra Black, Julianne Brough, Gavin Ryan. This Friday and Saturday, they're going to be playing their fourth annual Slumber Party concert at Valour Live Music Gallery in Provo. The show begins at 8 o'clock. Go to our website for some of the particulars. Guys, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us. It's awesome.
We're going to have you come out with a song called Shadow Puppets. Scott, I just wanted to point this out. I saw your face in a nimbus cloud. You were crying rain and thinning out. It's great. It's great. Here's the song. It's called Shadow Puppets. Ooh, 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 ooh.
mostly through cans and strings. Is it any wonder we don't understand anything?
What I didn't say.
Tapeworm, Shadow Puppets, Radio West, a production of KUER News. Our thanks today to Mike Anderson, the show engineered and mixed by Lewis Downey, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.